Welcome back. Welcome to Module 3 of the Pickup Method in your learning to attract men. And in Module 3, we're looking at the second date and beyond. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your host, as I guide you on this tour through learning how to pick up men. I want you to look at me as an advocate, as a friend, as a helper, as someone who's going to train you also on how to use hypnosis to get what you want. And right now in the first three modules, we're setting up the basics, things that everyone should know about dating. And then in the last three, we're going to talk about techniques you can use, hypnotic techniques that you can use to get what you want, to actually control men in a dating situation. Okay, so here it is, the second date or the third date or what have you. It's the second date and beyond, and you need to ask yourself, are things going well? Now, did you have a date? Did you do your homework for Module 2? Did you go on a date? Hopefully you did. If not, then why not pause this right now and go on a date and then come back? This will make more sense to you if you actually have a date and then come back and listen to this, because we can talk as friends and talk about what happened and what didn't happen. But let's move forward now. Let's say that you did your homework, you had the first date. So are things going well? How are things going? Did they go well in the first date? Are they going well now? It's important to ask yourself this question, are things going well? And it's also important not to convince yourself otherwise. I mean, if you had a first date and it went well in the sense that the guy didn't get up and leave and you didn't get up and leave, but you know, he was maybe belching and smelled funny and talked about things that you found offensive. If something like that happened, but you stuck it out the whole date and he kissed you at the end, well, you may look at that as a success in the sense that you had the first date and you had the entire first date, but was it really a success? So only you know what happened in the first date. I don't know what happened. Only you and the guy know what happened in the first date, but be honest with yourself. If it didn't go well, don't convince yourself that it did. Here are ways to know, in my opinion, if things went well. This is my checklist. Did you both pay attention to what the other person had to say? Did he do nice things for you? Open the car door? I mean, he doesn't have to open every single door for you and wipe your mouth after you eat or anything like that, but did he do some nice things for you? Did you both share feelings of some sort? I don't mean did you break down and cry and have a crying session about how terrible your upbringing was and then he started crying. I don't mean something like that. It doesn't have to be a therapy session. In fact, it shouldn't be a therapy session, but did you share some feelings? Does he want to see other people? Now, maybe you're okay with this, and a lot of this program is going to get down to what you feel is appropriate or not appropriate for you, what you want to accept or not want to accept. But does he want to see other people? And are you okay with that? I mean, maybe you're just looking for someone you see every now and then and he sees other people and you're okay with that. But if you're looking for something exclusive and he's not, then it didn't go so well, did it? Let's be honest. Did you both enjoy your time together, even when you were quote-unquote doing nothing, when you're just sitting there watching a movie or whatever you did? Did you enjoy your time together? Or did you feel you had to force everything? Did you feel you had to really work hard to keep the conversation going and it wasn't really flowing naturally on its own? Did you feel nervous the whole time? Did you feel uncomfortable, uneasy? Was there just this underlying feeling of, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? Was there honesty between the two of you? Was there a commitment that was broken? Did he break a date? Did you agree to meet at a certain time and maybe he didn't make it and he had to call afterwards and reschedule? Now, calling before with a reasonable amount of time is okay to reschedule, but did he call you afterwards or while you were already there? It's 8 o'clock. He's supposed to be here and he calls at 8 o'clock and he says he can't make it tonight. That's not a good sign. I would advise throwing your hand unless he was medically detained at some kind of accident and he can verify that somehow. You know, you don't go asking for a verification, but you know, you can always find out through other indicators if that's actually what happened. So was there something that was broken, a commitment that was broken? You were going to go somewhere and you didn't. He was going to be there at a certain time. He wasn't, and there was not a valid reason or or a reasonable notification given ahead of time? Did he not seem interested in you? That's a red flag if he didn't seem interested, if he was just staring off into space, didn't seem interested. Was there a lack of affection on either side? Were things always on his timetable? Now, I'm saying a lot of negative things here just to get you to look at them to see if they were there. If they weren't, don't go looking for them. But if they were there, acknowledge them. Did things always seem to be on his timetable? Did you have to do things when he said, okay, it's time to do this, it's time to do that? Now, if you like that, that's fine. Maybe you want him to take complete charge. And sometimes the relationship will work out fine like that. But was that happening and you didn't like it? Was it happening at all? Take a look at that. Was he wishy-washy? Were things not happening at all in any time schedule and you wish they were? Did you feel he was playing games? Did you feel he was a player? Did you feel that you were one of many who he was dating and he was indicating that you weren't, that you were the only one? In fact, he said he hasn't had a date in months and you were the first one, but you had some feeling that maybe that wasn't quite real. Now, realize that feelings can betray us. We can get carried away with our quote-unquote intuition. Sometimes our intuition is just something that's carried over from the past. Maybe we got hurt by someone and we think that this person's doing the same thing because they're saying the same types of things when actually they're not. We're just reading into it. So do you have some sort of evidence? Not that this is a criminal investigation, but is there some sort of thing that you saw or heard that made you think that he's seeing other people when he's saying he's not? You know, let's face it, if the guy shows up with lipstick on him somewhere or smelling like perfume, that's an indication that he's seen somebody else. Okay, so that's all assessing the first date. Just take a good, honest look and see if you're going to toss your hand. If not, then follow me and let's carry on as we look into the second date and beyond. Here are things you want to make sure you are experiencing throughout the dating process. Sharing time. Spending time with him doing things that you both want to do. Additionally, the two of you should spend time with his friends and with your friends. If you're not spending time with his friends, maybe he's trying to hide you. If he's not spending time with your friends, maybe you're trying to hide him. Now, why would that be? Maybe initially you don't want to spend time with each other's friends, but second date, third date, fourth date, somewhere in there, it's going to happen. If it's not, think about it. Why are you not sharing him with your friends? Why is he not sharing you with his? Now, maybe you want to keep him a secret. Maybe that's your goal, and that's fine, because this is all about you. I'm here to help you and whatever your goals are. So if you don't want to share him with your friends and you don't care anything about meeting his friends, that's fine. But if you're trying to build a relationship with this man and you're not sharing him with your friends, you're not introducing him to your friends, he's not introducing you to his friends, something's up. Something's not quite right. In a healthy relationship, you should both be spending time with each other's friends. Okay, you should be planning activities. You should be spontaneous with activities. So there's the balance of planning and spontaneity. Make sure you have that. If you're on a date doing one thing, you can change it to another thing. If you're on a date walking down a sidewalk next to a river and a boat is about to take off, a ferry that's about to go across the river, you can jump on it. It wasn't planned out or scheduled out, but it's there. Why not do it? So be spontaneous with activities and see how the two of you do making decisions together. The two of you and your second date and beyond should spend time at home, yours and his, together, and spend time out. There should be a balance. So what specifically should you experience while dating? Well, you should do simple chores together. You should visit with family, both yours and his, together. You should cook together. You should attend any weddings or funerals that are going on together. And perhaps even look into taking a class together. These all build, at a subconscious level, the relationship. The more things you do together, the more he's going to feel that he is a part of your life and you are a part of his life. So how do you keep things going strong? Well, do activities that you're both interested in and see each other at different times. For example, weekdays, weekends, morning, afternoon, night, etc. Kind of mix it up a little bit. Not 7 o'clock every night. That's going to get boring to him. It's going to become routine. You're going to seem too controllable. Remember the power dynamic? If he's got you in a box 7 o'clock every Wednesday, well, that's your scheduled time. Who knows what he could be doing the rest of the time? You should be able to mix it up. He should be flexible enough with his schedule that he can mix it up within reason, within his work schedule and so forth. But within reason, there should be some variation going on. Learn to compromise. That can be a big thing that can really help your relationship. Maybe that was on your list in the past that you didn't compromise. Who knows? Learn to compromise as you progress through this. Learn how he communicates. Learn how he communicates. How both of you communicate has a huge impact on your relationship. If neither of you is open, it's hard to go anywhere. If only one of you is the better communicator, then that can really stagnate things also, can't it? But perhaps you can help him learn to communicate better. If there's love developing and real honest caring, then maybe you can help him communicate better. If you both communicate openly, then great, you're all set. Let's look at what men do and don't want as we look at the second date and beyond. Well, what they do want is they do like it when you talk about what you do and express a passion for it, whether you have a job or you're in school or both. Talk about what you do and express a passion in it. Men also like it, of course, when you talk about what they're interested in. Even if you aren't interested exactly in what he's interested in, at least you can bring it up every now and then. You can ask how his athletic team is doing. Even if you're not into sports, you can ask how they're doing. Another thing to keep in mind is you want to make sure that you look attractive. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to keep on getting fixed up for hours on end every day, but you want to continue to look attractive. If you've already got them in a second date and third date and fourth date, and you're getting more and more comfortable and letting go of certain things that you did on the first date to make yourself look attractive, guess what? He could start losing interest. Other women are still dressing up like they're on a first date. Other women who he will encounter out in the world are dressed up like they're on a first date. You have decided to let yourself go. Don't do that. You don't have to feel anxious or nervous about it, but continue to take care of yourself. Continue to dress up. Continue to look your best. Whatever your personal best is, continue to do that. Okay, here are things not to do, specifically not to do. Okay, on the second date and beyond, you've probably already established what kind of car he drives and what he does. But men do not want you to express an over-interest in how much money they make. If you suspect he makes a lot of money or a little bit of money and you're trying to kind of probe that, well, either way, if he's at an extreme, either very little money or a lot of money, he's probably not going to want to reveal an exact dollar amount. If he's somewhere in the middle, maybe he's more comfortable with that. But you've got to realize that men want to make sure that you are not into them just for the money. Now, if you're in an extreme situation and you're with a man who's got a lot of money and that's the only reason you're interested in him, well, who's to say that you're wrong? I'm here to help you get what you want. I'm here to help you get the man you want. So maybe there is a situation in which that's actually what you're after. But I will advise you that that man probably doesn't want to think that that's the only reason you're interested in him. He probably wants to think that he's charming or handsome or he's got wonderful interests or something like that. If he suspects that you're interested in him only for his money, that might kill things. Okay, if he's sharing his feelings with you, this is a good sign. This is a good sign. Now, if he's sharing too many feelings with you and really dumping on you and crying and so forth and making it into a therapy session, that's a bad sign. There's something wrong there if it's only the second date and all this is happening. Toss your hand and get out. But if he's sharing some feelings with you, things he feels passionate about, or maybe things that even make him sad a little bit, that's okay. And you need to not be critical about what he's sharing with you. Also, as you progress through these dates, don't talk about past relationships. Oh, I remember when Joe did that. Yeah, he used to do this and that. Oh, yeah, I remember Bill. Yeah, he used to do this just like you do it. Yeah, or he did it differently, or worse, he did it better. Something he did was better. Or, oh, yeah, Bill had a lot of businesses. He had 5 businesses and made probably a lot more money than you. But that's okay. I still like you. You know, saying things like that, let them go. Don't say things like that. Let go of talking about past relationships and things that you're just saying to make the person uncomfortable anyway, or maybe you feel you're just sharing and you don't think they'll be uncomfortable. Men do not want to hear about your past relationships. You might want to write that one down. Men do not want to hear about your past relationships. Now, if he asks you specifically about your past relationships, go ahead and offer that information. Otherwise, keep that information to yourself. Now, if you have been married 5 times, you may want to at some point reveal that to him so that he knows that you've been married 5 times. If you want him to have that information, that could be important if you're considering getting married to him. However, if you're constantly talking about past relationships, what in the world does that have to do with the present? How is that living in the now? How is that building a future with this man? It's not. It's living in the past. He doesn't want to hear that. Also, if you've had therapy in the past, if you've been in jail in the past, if you've had health problems in the past, those are all interesting things that can come out over time. However, in the second date, third date, fourth date, in that realm, you don't want to talk about these things, jail, therapy, health problems, etc. Those things can come out after you've, for lack of a better expression, locked him in. You've got him locked in. You've got him interested in you. You've got this guy all about you. That's when you can start talking about some of these more touchy issues. But if you're still in the second, third, and fourth date and you're talking about, yeah, the time I was locked up, or yeah, the time I was in therapy for my bipolar condition, or yeah, the time I had this weird growth somewhere, you know, those things are better saved for later on. And if you are the type of person who reveals all of these things early on, well, guess what? It shouldn't come as a big newsflash that those things have been working against you in the past, even if you thought they weren't. If you're having the first and second date and you're talking about your therapy sessions and so forth, and how your psychiatrist is trying to balance your medications, and you wonder why the third date never shows up, you never get the third date with a particular person, well, now the cat is out of the bag. Now you have the secret revealed to you. You're revealing way too much about yourself early on. Give it time. Even if you feel, oh my goodness, I just got to tell this person the stuff, or I'm not being real. They're going to find out eventually. I better tell them. No. Let go of that thinking. That's not the way it is. You first need to lock them in. Get them attracted to you. Make sure it's some kind of stable relationship. And guess what? It might never be that. It might never get to that. Do you want to really reveal all your therapeutic secrets to someone who's just going to leave you? No. And then what? You reveal it to the next man and the next man and the next man? No. Don't do that until they are all about you, until they're very into you. Then they've earned the right to hear about you and your past, sordid as it may be. Okay, so anything that you have in your past that's along those lines, things that make you go, if you have something in your past that would make someone go, you know what it is. Save that for later. You can be honest and truthful later on. You're not hiding it. You're just putting it aside for now. Okay, what common mistakes can you make in the second, third, and fourth date? And I'm talking about the time beyond the first date. You've already passed that test, and he has too, but you're not quite to the fifth date. The fifth date, you're kind of talking more seriously now. Now it's time to really, you know, make some really hard decisions to really decide, do I want this to go further, or was I just looking for a few dates here? Or is Jim becoming more interesting, or is Tom or Hank becoming more interesting, or Roger becoming more interesting? So that, you know, about the fifth date, that's when you start thinking about that. But then the second, third, and fourth realm, somewhere in there, you're still in this tryout zone. You're trying him out. He's trying you out. So a common mistake to make in that realm is not giving him enough space. You want to slowly get to know him and not smother him. Expecting marriage after one date. Now, you may not come right out and say, oh, okay, when we're married, we're going to live in this house and have these kids and so forth and so on. You're going to have to, let's see, you're going to have to move into my house because I have a bigger house. And no, we'll move into your house because you have a bigger house, or we'll get another house and we'll sell our houses. If you're having those conversations on anything before the fifth date, then you are going to scare that man. Don't even use the word marriage until at least the fifth date. I mean, if you're going to use the word marriage, you may want to save that till the 10th date. You may want to save that till you're really, really comfortable with this person, or better yet, let him bring it up. But the M word shouldn't come up, especially in the first few dates, and ideally not until date number 10 or somewhere. Now, keep in mind that you can imply marriage even if you're not saying marriage. So you want to avoid even implying it. You want to avoid marriage talk. Oh, when I get married, I'm going to do this. Oh, when I get married, I'm going to be with a man just like you, or anything like that. Just avoid the implications, the conversation, direct or indirect. Just let it go. Get marriage out of your head. Let's face it, you just met this person. Marriage doesn't have a place. Now, you may be thinking about it. You may be thinking about it in the back of your head, but when you're with him, let it go. Get that thought out of your head when you're with him, because you don't want to start implying it or talking about it or directly saying it. That is going to work against you. Now, if you're with a guy and you want to get rid of him and you know that he's afraid of marriage, then by all means, that's a great way to throw your hand. Just start talking about marriage. You know, next week when we get married, we're going to go on our honeymoon. Another common mistake is not communicating on the same wavelength. If he's talking about football and you're talking about ballet all the time, or if he's talking about astrophysics and you're talking about drawing with crayons, or he's talking about drawing with crayons and you're talking about astrophysics, you're not syncing up. You're not on the same wavelength. Now, that could be an indication that it's time to throw your hand, or it could be an indication that you need to find more common ground, something to talk about that you both can relate to. So, not communicating on the same wavelength is problematic. Or if he's talking about emotions and you're not, or you're talking about emotions and he's not, you know, you're talking about emotions and he's talking about football and how hungry he is, you know, that's his emotion. I have hunger. Yeah, I want a hamburger. That's the emotion I'm feeling right now. Well, you're not on the same wavelength. Either you need to toss your hands because this person's not emotionally available, or you need to accept the fact that you don't care if you don't care. And that's fine, but if you do care, then, and you do want this to work, and you think there's hope, then find some common ground. Find a way to get on the same wavelength. Another common mistake is jealousy. So he doesn't call for half a day. If you call him and say, where were you? What were you doing? What was that car in front of your house? Now, if there's a car in front of his house that you see, and there's somebody walking out who shouldn't be there, then you've got some sort of grounds. But if you're going to his house to spy on him while you're not together, that's not good. You need to let go of that. You need to let go of that, because what you're going to do is set yourself up for always having to do that. Do you really want to be with someone that you have to check up on all the time? What about the time you don't go to his house and someone's there? Think about that. Is that the way you're going to live your life, by always spying on a man? No, that's not the way to do it. You want to let go of jealousy. Now, later on, when you have a committed relationship, if it gets to that, and he's talking to someone who you know is an old flame or an ex or a former lover, whatever you want to call them, then it's time to have a conversation. You know, why were you talking to them? What's going on there? So the first few dates, all the way up to date 5, just let go of that. Let go of jealousy. I mean, if you feel that badly that he's doing something, why not toss your hand? Or why not say directly, hey, are you seeing anyone else? No, you're not? Oh, yes, you are. Oh, okay, well, I thought we were in a committed relationship. Toss your hand. Okay, there are ways to deal with it without bringing jealousy, the green-eyed monster, into the conversation or into your relationship. It will destroy a relationship if you allow it to take hold. Don't allow jealousy to get in there. When you feel jealous, you need to realize what it's coming from. If it's coming from the fact that you don't trust him, then you need to address that directly. not by saying I don't trust you, but by asking questions. Hey, are you seeing anyone else? Okay. Oh, you're not? Okay, great. Okay. How to communicate with men. Now, in my Ultimate Conversational Hypnosis course, I talk about a lot of different ways to communicate with men, and we are going to talk about that in this course to some degree. Later on, we get into the hypnosis part of it, you know, how to communicate with them using hypnosis. But there are a lot of things in that program also that talk about just communicating with men. I'm going to give you some of those concepts now in the realm of dating. How do you communicate with men in the realm of dating? Well, first of all, realize that you don't have to cover a topic all in one conversation. You can say, let's continue this later. You don't have to have an exhaustive conversation about something. It can be continued later on. Also, be an active listener. Paying attention to what he says and not interrupting is a great thing. Listen to what he says and don't feel that you need to interject, unless he's rambling on and on and not letting you talk at all. But if he's taking a reasonable amount of time, let him finish that thought about the beer that he likes or the wine that he likes or the country that he likes the most. Let him complete that thought. Oh, you like Paris? I do too because of blah, blah, blah. No, let him finish that thought. Don't interrupt all the time unless you feel that he's rambling on. It's been 5 minutes about Paris and he doesn't seem to be interested in stopping anytime soon. Okay, then it's time to politely interject something. But if he's just said the first few sentences, there's no need for you to jump in right there. Let him complete thoughts and pay attention. Focus on paying attention and listening. You complete thoughts and then he talks. He completes thoughts and then you talk. It's give and take. Okay, another thing to know about men is that they are not psychic. You may be somewhat psychic or intuitive or know what's going on or be able to figure out what's going on in the relationship that's maybe not on the surface. Don't expect the man you're with to have those sort of psychic extrasensory powers because he does not have those powers. He lacks those powers. If you're feeling something and you expect him to understand that you're feeling something just by the way you're acting, you're going to set yourself up for being very upset because chances are he's not going to figure out you're feeling just by the way you're acting. He's going to think you're being rude or you're not interested in him or there's something else going on, but he's not, in most cases, going to figure out exactly what's wrong with you. Don't wait for him to notice that there's something wrong. If there's something wrong, tell him. Now, if there's something wrong every minute of every day, then it's time to toss your hand because something's just wrong with the relationship. But if from time to time, over the first few dates or over the course of your relationship, things come up that you feel uneasy about, talk about them. Just like jealousy. If jealousy arises for you, acknowledge it and deal with it directly. Don't push that to the side and allow it to fester and allow your feelings to get to the point where you're just enraged and you think he doesn't care or love you or anything like that. You need to deal directly with that. I feel this. I feel sad. I feel upset. I feel curious about something you said. Don't expect him to be a mind reader. He is not a mind reader. So when confronting a man about something, do it in a nice, non-confrontational way. You may feel like going after him and attacking him because he's done something that's totally offended you. That's possibly the case, and I can understand that you would feel that way. However, if you don't want to escalate this into a fight, you need to approach it in a non-confrontational way. Along those lines of being honest with your feelings and approaching him in a productive way about them, don't just put on a happy face. If something's not right, don't just smile and let it go. Instead, deal with the issue. And let him know that you are also open to answering questions. If he has any questions about you, you're open to them. You're open to giving him the information that he needs. So it all gets down to being clear and honest when communicating. Also be patient. You aren't always going to be on the same wavelength when communicating. It's not always going to sync up that way. Be patient. Realize that he is different than you, and that's okay. Realize that he is different than you, and that's okay. Listen to what he has to say. Understand the differences and celebrate them rather than fighting them. So be patient, listen to what he has to say, and understand that you're not always going to sync up, and that's okay. That's part of the beauty of a relationship. If he was just like you, you'd be in a relationship with yourself. You might as well date the mirror. It wouldn't make any sense to be with someone if they were exactly like you. The diversity is what makes the relationship rich. So understanding that can go a long way in terms of getting along. So don't run away from talking, don't hide your feelings, and don't be critical. If there's something going on, rather than saying, you know, you never take out the trash, and it's awful that you don't. You're a typical man, not taking out the trash ever, just letting it build up. That's not the way to approach that, and you know it. If you want to start a fight, that's the way to approach it. The way to approach it is to have a conversation about it. You know, I feel that this should be done, and of course I do this chore, so just want to make sure that we have some kind of program here. So you're taking out the trash, right? I'm doing the dishes. Okay, great, got it. Whatever your situation may be, whatever you may have worked out, maybe you take out the trash, maybe he does the dishes, who knows, it doesn't matter. Make sure that you're not being critical, though, when you mention certain things like that. Realize that communication requires attention, acceptance, and appreciation. So also be aware of the way that you argue. You know, if you have an arguing style, let him know. If you tend to hold things in or tend to explode or whatever, maybe that's just the way you do things. Maybe it's just the way you are. You can work on changing it, but I don't want to change you so much that you're not you anymore. Maybe your communication style is to kind of, you know, get a little carried away sometimes. Let him know that. Let him know it's not him. It's the way you do things. It's the way you communicate. Maybe in your family, that's the way you communicate. And maybe everybody raised their voice, threw a fit. And at the end of it, they're all hugging each other and everything was back to lovey-dovey good times. And everybody said what they wanted to say. Everybody vented and it was kind of like a big therapy session. But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that's the way you do things in your family or that's the way you like to do things. Maybe he just thinks you're losing your mind every now and then. You don't want him to think that you're losing your mind every now and then. You want him to understand that you have a particular communication style that you feel is about you and from you, and you want him to realize that it has nothing to do with you hating him or going crazy or anything like that. It's just the way you communicate. So what is your homework? You may be wondering at this point, okay, I know he loves to give homework. What's my homework this time? Well, it should come as no surprise that your homework is to continue on dating. Maybe you got to the first date and didn't want to do the second date. That's fine. But I want you to get to the point now where you're there, where you've had the first date and you're going to have the second date or hopefully the third and fourth and fifth and so on. But have something beyond a first date. Have something beyond a first date, because after this, we're going to switch gears and we're going to look at hypnotic techniques. We're going to have you do the whole process over again with hypnotic techniques. Now, hopefully you found the man of your dreams at this point and you're going to stay with him forever. But if that's not the case, then you're going to have the next date. You're going to have someone else come along and you're going to have a chance to use hypnotic techniques. So maybe you locked in the man of your dreams just using these basic techniques with very little or no hypnosis, and that's great. But if not, we're going to switch gears for the final three chapters, and we're going to talk about some specific hypnotic techniques that you can use to lock in the man of your dreams and get what you want, because we're talking about picking up men. So we're going to teach you some techniques to pick up men. So your homework is to go out and have the second date or third date, just something beyond the first date, so that you can work on these things, work on what we've talked about in this module, work on what to do and what not to do, work on avoiding the common mistakes, work on learning how to communicate with a man. Remember, paying attention, listening, sharing, being honest, being straightforward, not letting things build up to the point where they're explosive and a real problem, And if you are the type of person who explodes every now and then, let them know, communicate with them. So work on those things we've talked about in this module. And if you need to go back over it, go back over it. Work on those things. Have your second, third, or fourth date or all of them. And then join me in the next module as we then take it to the next level, where we go back through it and we give you the tools that a hypnotist would use in dating. Going to make you a very powerful person, make you a dangerous person if you want to look at it that way, make you someone who can get what they want from a man. So enjoy, have fun, and look forward to a lot more fun in the next three modules. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.